I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a
soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jesse is out of town today. Father Charles Murr is sitting in for Jesse. Father Murr, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show again.
Good morning, Terry.
God love you, Father. Thanks for your time of joining us here and helping people fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. Today's show, I want to call it the Archbishop Vigano Show. You know why I call it that, Father Murr? Because there's so many good things he's telling us to do, and it all focuses on our soul. How to get to heaven. Also, we're going to be talking about, I consider one of the holy men that I've met in my life, Father John Hardin, S.J. His topic is three reasons why the devil is so strong today. And as I mentioned, Archbishop Vigano telling us we have to remain steadfast in the faith and not found a new church. What did he mean by that? We'll talk about that. Also, Archbishop Vigano, he's issuing a grave warning to bishops who are silent on abortion during the 2020 election. Now, we've got some stories about bishops who are speaking up, which I'll tell later in the show. But yes, we need all of our bishops to be on the same page to protect the unborn. Also, Archbishop Vigano, again, three for three. He has a special message of encouragement for Judge Amy Coney Barrett. I think that was a good story there, too. Also, I'm going to give you some interesting information regarding unborn babies and how they're surviving at such infants, you know, premature babies, 22, 23 weeks, so much going on. And then we're going to talk about some good news stories about a bishop on the East Coast. Wait till you hear, he's one of 11 children. You're going to love this story. And much, much more. So put your seatbelt on. I always like to say that Jesse and I have a PhD in common sense, and common sense ain't that common. Before we get to all of the above, we always take the gospel of the day, and Father Murr is here to read the gospel to us and then give us what we call an exegesis, where he can explain it to us in real practical terms. It's taken from the gospel of Luke chapter 12, verse 1 to 7. So, Father Murr, could you proclaim that reading of the gospel?
Certainly. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that time, so many people were crowding together that they were trampling one another underfoot. Jesus began to speak, first to his disciples. Beware of the leaven, that is, the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. There is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, no secret that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have to say in darkness will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered behind closed doors will be proclaimed on the housetops. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but afterwards can do no more. I shall show you whom to fear. Be afraid, rather, of the one who, after killing, has the power to cast into Gehenna. Yes, I tell you, be afraid of that one. Are not five sparrows sold for two small coins? Yet not one of them has escaped the notice of God. Even the hairs on your head have all been counted. Be not afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Today's gospel. So appropriate, Father. I'm thinking, but go ahead.
Yeah, but
wow.
Have you ever known the gospel not to be appropriate?
No, but it just hit me for right now because of our closing
yes,
of our churches and things like that. But
no,
I want to hear. I want to hear from you. Yeah.
Well, one thing that I never let slip by with this gospel is it's a tidbit of Catholic practice that's contained in this gospel. I think most people don't realize it. Mm-hmm. You know, we have the practice for our hosts that they be flatbread.
Right.
No yeast used in them. Mm-hmm. Well, it comes from this gospel.
I didn't know that.
Yes. It said, Christ is comparing yeast. In other words, that substance in bread, which was common to all men at that time and still is, that substance in bread that puffs it up. In other words, it's an analogy for pride.
Got it.
So what Christ is saying is, he says to his disciples, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees, that is their hypocrisy. All right? They're all puffed up, swelling over with pride. Beware of that. Well, the fathers of the church took that phrase and they put it into the bread, to the Eucharistic bread. Mm-hmm. So our bread is without yeast. In other words, that bread is going to become Christ. That bread is going to become Christ. And in Christ, there is not the slightest gram of hypocrisy.
Beautiful.
Nothing. It is the true body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. It is the true Christ without any hypocrisy. And we take that, we take it from this gospel.
It's very beautiful. Insightful.
It's a very beautiful detail.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
You bet.
Now, what I used to be very impressed with this when I was a kid, when I would contemplate our Lord knowing the numbers of the hairs on my head. I am less impressed.
Me
by
too.
That today.
That's pretty funny, Father.
However, what our Lord is saying is this: before he gets into that, he said, "You're worried about people who can kill you, who can do you harm, whether it be the Roman government, whether it be this, whether it be that, people who can harm you. Don't put so much fear into people who can harm you, and then they can't do anything more. They can kill you. Mm-hmm. Listen, this is very important. They can kill you, destroy your body, but they can't do anything more." Now, he's talking to a people who don't necessarily believe in the afterlife, okay?
Right.
Not all the Jews believed then, not all the Jews believe today in an afterlife.
Right.
But Christ is here to tell us there is an afterlife. And it's very real, and it's much more important than this life. You're fearful of who can do you harm in this life? Hang it up. That's not important
exactly.
at all. That's not important at all.
Nope.
The man who's the one, not the man, the one God who has authority in the next life, and he can send your soul to hell or to heaven.
Yes.
Be fearful of that one. These are strong words from our Lord, very strong words. He uses Gehenna, which is, we'll get onto it one other day.
Sure.
But Gehenna is another way of saying hell. We'll just leave it at that.
Yep.
And that's what he's saying. Be careful of God, who after this life has authority to send you to hell. Of him,
yes.
Be fearful. These are very strong words, very strong words. And the reason our Lord is speaking in those strong terms is to wake us up. He's trying to wake up the hearers of this word and say, look, this is the reality. The reality is that there is a life after this. Do everything in this life toward that goal.
Exactly. Right?
Very important words, and they're very encouraging words.
They are, Father. And, you know, I think of Archbishop Vigano having it on that same theme in the gospel, where he's going out and telling people, hey, you know, life is short, eternity is forever. Get your soul in its proper place and proper disposition. So it fits right in with our gospel. Great. Now it's time for bringing the smartest guy into the room, Archbishop Sheen, in. So if we can bring him in on that choo-choo train. Let's see if Mr. Engineer can bring. Okay. Well, I'm going to say full Sheen ahead, but Father, it fits the gospel because here's what Bishop Sheen has to say about salvation. And then I'll get your comment. We have time in this segment. Would a duck have the instinct to swim if there were no water? Would a baby cry for nourishment if there was no such thing as food? And would there be in you a craving for the unending life, perfect truth, ecstatic love, unless perfect life and truth and love existed? Now, Bishop Sheen says this about life, and so I've shared that with people who are agnostics. I said, why do you think you want total happiness? Because that's part of your nature. We're supposed to yearn for God, and it's in you, even though you're not recognizing it. But Father Murr, have you heard that quote from Sheen before, or is that the first time you've heard it?
No, I've heard that before, but let me just give you a short quick story.
Yeah.
I was hearing confessions under an oak tree years ago.
Yeah.
Way out in the middle of I had an uncle who was a little bit irreverent. He used to say, 3 miles from where God lost his left shoe during the Genesis. It was way out in the middle of nowhere. And when I got up after an hour and a half of hearing confessions, I was under the tree because of the shade.
Yeah.
I got up to stretch.
Yeah.
And when I did, I saw that on that tree, I'm not making this up, on that tree was a heart carved into the tree.
Yeah.
And it said, and it was old, you could see that it was very weathered. It said something to the effect, Jose loves Lupita forever.
Yeah.
And it had an arrow to it.
I love
it. I said to myself, forever. Forever.
Yeah, it's a long time.
Forever. But these people already knew that there was a life after this one.
Yep, I get it. Got it. When we come back, we're going to talk about Father John Hardin's comments about three reasons why the devil is so strong today here on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We'll be back with more to inspire you to fall deeper in love with Jesus and his church. Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father Altier and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back. Jesse's out of town. Father Charles Murr is my guest. And we've been talking about our Catholic faith. But before we do that, I want to mention on November 7th, we have a a conference coming up called What Every Catholic Needs to Know. It's a virtual conference, so you can check it out on your computer or on your phone. It starts at 9 a.m. ends at 3. We're going to have some great speakers like Dr. Scott Hahn, Tim Staples, Steve Ray, Jesse Romero, Father Bill Casey, Deacon Alex Jones, Brant Petrie, Kimberly Hahn. It goes on. It goes on. These are shows that we did on video years ago that just were really great on, like, for example, What Every Catholic Needs to Know About Hell, and What Every Catholic Needs to Know About the Bible, about the papacy, about the Blessed Virgin Mary. Great conference. If you want to join us, go to the website, virginmostpowerfulradio.org, or call us to register by calling 877-526-2151. Well, Father John Hardin, I had the honor to record him for years at homeschooling conferences and pro-life conferences. Great Jesuit. Just to set the stage, it was 1975. I think that's about the year Father was just getting into the seminary. I was just graduating from high school, and a Jesuit priest gave me a catechism, a yellow catechism by Father Hardin that just was marvelous. It answered so many of my questions. And so he was a holy Jesuit, and he came out in the early 90s. I think it was 1992. I actually have this talk on cassette tape. Remember cassette tapes, everybody? Yeah, we had this. It was on why three reasons why the devil is so strong today. He said, number one, and it's real simple. He says, first, and then Father Murr, I'm going to have you comment, because I don't know if you had a chance. Did you ever meet Father Hardin?
I met him one time through Father Fezzio at the Ignatius Institute.
Good.
An absolute saint.
Yeah.
A saint and brilliant.
Yeah, he's brilliant. Oh, yeah, he's brilliant, that's for sure. Well, here's what he said, and we'll talk about it. He said, first reason the devil is extraordinarily strong and successful today is that, first, as a penalty for sins committed, in other words, as Father Hardin says, we believe in the solidarity in virtue and solidarity in sin. We believe the present generation can be suffering for the sins of a past generation. Father Murr, my take, and then I want to hear yours. For 50 years, we've seen a steady decline in the practice of our Catholic faith. That's just the facts. We've seen thousands of priests leave the priesthood. We've seen what Scott Hahn said back in 94. I remember him saying that 250 million Catholics have left the church since 1965. So the effect of them not practicing the faith has opened up a floodgate of demonic activity. What's your take on that first reason, Father?
Oh, absolutely. I would agree. As a matter of fact, I always held, mm-hmm. but I couldn't put it into words.
Yeah,
I didn't have what I needed behind me to really say this clearly. But I always believed that the revolution or the revolt of the 1960s, especially 68, mm-hmm. I believe that that happened because of the Catholic Church, not the other way around.
I agree with you.
Not the other way around.
Oh, yes.
I believe that since the Church let her guard down.
Exactly. The floodgates went.
That's what happened. That's what happened. There's a lot of that. We've also something else, Terry, that's really important. We've stopped worrying about the soul.
Yeah, just on
the immortal soul.
Yeah, our supernatural outlook.
Just heard the gospel of today.
Yes.
That what's most important is that immortal soul.
Amen.
We put that over to one side, and we've talked about, let's save the whole man. The whole man, body and soul, you know, but body is most important.
Yeah.
And so we've done a lot of social work, which is great. Don't get me wrong. Of course, it's necessary. It's part of being Christian.
Sure.
But we've replaced the spiritual with that exclusively. Yeah. Big mistake.
Well, that's what Bishop Strickland said on our Bishop Strickland Hour, that we've lost that supernatural aspect. We're just now our bodies. And rather than
Absolutely.
Our souls. Number two, Father Hardin says, we have Judases in the church. Whoops. He says, that's not politically correct to say. He said, second reason, God is allowing the devil to be so successful because those who should be guiding the church in sound morality are not doing so. In other words, the Catholic Church absolutely depends on the authority established by Christ when he ordained the apostles at the Last Supper, and therefore the devil is so successful because the devil, remember, he succeeded with one apostle, Judas. Judas was possessed by the devil. And Father Hardin says, do you hear me? I remember him saying that a lot of times, man. I'm like, yes, sir, I hear you. Do you hear me, he says. And he allowed himself to be possessed by the devil to betray Christ. There are Judases in the Catholic Church today. And he says, I'm quoting Pope Paul VI when he said, the smoke of Satan has entered the church. Father Murr, he said this in the 90s. It's only gotten worse. Am I right or wrong on that?
Yeah, it's gotten much worse. It's gotten much worse to where right now, let me just tell our listeners something that's really important, and I don't think they take it into consideration.
Okay,
I don't believe that most people in the world, especially not in the United States or in Europe, understand how difficult it is to wear a Roman collar in public.
I bet
how difficult it is for a nun to wear her habit in public today. The insults that we receive as priests and as nuns, people spit on us.
That's right.
The remarks. Oh, no, it's horrible. It's horrible. Anybody who thinks, oh, we have privilege, the collar does it for you, you've got to be kidding.
Not now.
You've got to be kidding. Not in today's world. No, not at all. It's very difficult. We've lost so much. The church has lost so much of her spiritual mission. So has our culture.
Yeah.
And so has our government. So has our world.
Yeah.
The world that we live in.
Yeah. Well said. The third reason, Father Hardin says, the devil is so powerful right now, is consoling. He says God allows such massive evil in today's world being perpetuated by the devil because God, in his infinite providence, plans to give extraordinary blessings on us, right? On a generation before us, the century to come. In other words, in the spirit of St. Paul, where sin has more abounded, get the graces will, the future tense. The grace will even more abound. The 21st century, says the Holy Father, will be the holiest and most Catholic century of the church's history. But we've got to do our part. And I know I'm talking to the right audience, Father Hardin said. Father Murr, I got to tell you, we've only got the first, 20% of the 21st century in. And I'll tell you what, I'm fading. I'm 63 years old. I think you're close to 70. We're not going to, I hope I see it, but I wouldn't doubt it if it takes a lot more years for this this resurgence to come back. But it seems like in the church history, every 500 years, we go through a dying process and then we arise from it. And I don't need to tell the 500 years that Fulton Sheen talks about, but I think what Fulton Sheen's talking, when he said right now, he said, we're walking away from the cross of Christ and we want like a balloons, banners, and butterfly church, and that's not going to get us anywhere.
Yeah, I think we're not walking away from it. We're running.
We're running. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we're running. Yeah. It's, you know, there's one other reason besides those three that
sure.
Father Hardin points out, which are magnificent. The fourth, I would say a fourth reason is this. Most people don't believe in the devil.
That's exactly right.
And that's his greatest defense.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, it's sort of like telling everyone in your neighborhood, I don't believe in thieves.
Right.
I don't believe in thieves. They don't exist. Well, guess whose house is going to be number one to rob?
Exactly.
That man who doesn't believe in thieves.
Of course.
It's the same thing. The devil can do so much more when people don't believe in him because they're not on their guard. He has easy access. Well, that's very important, too, I think.
Well, you know, Father Murr, this fits right in with Archbishop Vigano. In his latest letter from October 16th, he says, we have to remain steadfast in the faith and not found a new church. He said, we must not go down those steps. We must not go down the steps just as Christ did not descend from the cross, nor do we look elsewhere for that salvation that comes only from the altar, from the Immaculate Victim, from the cross of Christ. So that kind of fits right in to our next article. that Archbishop Vigano is just basically encouraging all of us to live a holy life. And Father Murr, you've been telling people for 40 years as a priest, you know, to live a life centered on Christ and the Eucharist and the Blessed Mother. And, you know, is Archbishop Vigano like a John the Baptist for us today? Or is he just, you know, someone who's, I mean, because he seems like it's a refreshing message right now. I don't see too many archbishops coming out saying the things he's pointing out. And he's also pointing out the errors that are going on in the church, but he's saying that we have to resist those and go back to the perennial teachings of the church. And that's refreshing for a layman, for me. What's your take on Archbishop Vigano's comments about remaining steadfast in the faith?
First of all, let me say that I think Archbishop Vigano is absolutely magnificent. I think he is absolutely magnificent. I think he is a godsend to the world right now.
Oh,
right
boy.
When the world, right when he was necessary, mm-hmm. God sent him. I mean that. I mean that sincerely.
Yeah, well.
Let me make a small confession,
sure.
Terry.
Yeah.
There have been so many times over the last, what am I, 40, almost 44 years of priest.
Wow.
And by the way, Terry,
yes.
I crossed the 70 mark.
Oh, I didn't know
I'm
that.
On the other side of it. Yeah.
Okay,
condolences. But anyway, here's the thing. I'm going to make a small confession, kind of a large confession
yeah.
for everyone listening.
Sure.
There have been many times, especially in the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years, where I have said to myself and in front of God, that's it. That this is enough. Who can take any more of this?
Yeah, I hear you.
This is ridiculous. This is wrong. This is this. That's it. I've had it. And you know, if anything is from Satan, it's that.
Yes.
It's that attitude.
Exactly.
Right?
Give up.
We can't go there. And then I catch myself and make an act of contrition. I make about 5 acts of contrition per day.
A good idea. I do, too.
Going through.
Yeah.
I really do.
For sure.
Stop and say, gee, that was a stupid thing to think. I'm sorry. But anyway, what Vigano is saying makes tremendous sense. And let me go to something he just wrote. Can I get...
Yeah, that's a teaser for the break. Right? Hang on. We've got a quick break, and let's get that,
okay.
what he just
okay.
wrote,
because
we want to hear from Archbishop Vigano. We got Father Murr here, filling in for Jesse. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. I want to welcome all the thousands of new YouTube listeners that are joining us each week on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And we'll be back with more to inspire you to fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and His bride, the Church.
We got Ernesto from Long Beach.
You know, I just wanted to comment, you know, and I just wanted to thank you guys. And I kind of wanted to encourage people that are listening, maybe that are not donating, you know, because honestly, I got to be honest. I used to think you guys were a little
too over the top,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. You
That's
know,
right.
If God gave us a lot, you know, and I have the blessing of listening to all this, I just want to call all the people, you know, I've got 5 kids, you know, and I don't make a lot of money, and I'm still donating to you guys.
God bless you, brother. You're amazing.
We have to do this. We have to do the extra. And it's not even the extra. People see it like it's extra. Kneeling for communion, saying your rosary, saying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. It is not extra. It's what the church tells us to do.
Amen. You're a good man, brother.
30 years old, 29 years old. 5 kids, and I thank you guys. But everybody else, man, get on fire. Fight for the truth, man. I know what I'm telling you guys. There's
I love it.
Out there.
If you shop on Amazon.com, there's an easy way to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Just visit smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center under the desired charity. Now, when you log into your Amazon account and purchase products, a portion of it will automatically go to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio at no cost to you. Thanks in advance for supporting CRC and VMPR, and may God richly bless you and your family.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. We've got Father Charles Murr here filling in for Jesse. We're talking about Archbishop Vigano. And I just want to remind everybody, after this show, the Bible with the Barbers will be on. And that's a Bible study every single Friday here on Virgin Most Powerful. If you'd like to read more about your Bible and learn about it, go to our podcast on the Bible with the Barbers. Father Murr, we teased everybody at the break. You have some story or some comment about Archbishop Vigano. I want to hear what you have to say about him.
Well, where to begin?
Yeah.
The Archbishop said...
Yes.
Less than 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. he suggested that, let me put it mildly,
sure.
that the Second Vatican Council be reexamined.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes.
As a matter of fact, I think what he said is it should not be considered a real council. All right, something to that effect. Mm-hmm. That grabbed me. Because I know a lot of people have thought that.
Mm-hmm. I've never said it.
Myself included.
Yeah.
To tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But never, you would never say that.
Right.
You would never say it because you knew that there was something wrong about saying it. Right? You were wrong. Sure. But when he came out and said that, I felt a great relief. First of all, it's not as absurd as I was thinking that it might be coming from me, because mm-hmm. it came from him,
mm-hmm.
and he's much more intelligent and much more astute than I am. But also it goes to explain something else. This is getting way off track, maybe. President Wilson,
mm-hmm.
our president, he did a lot of things that he called progressive. I'm not going to give a whole history lesson.
Right.
But he took the Democrat Party to the progressive side of things.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite radical. I think also that Pope Francis is progressive because he embodies the Second Vatican Council. And I just came to think of this in these past days. I believe that he believes everything that he's doing and saying is absolutely correct, because he is the embodiment of the Second Vatican Council. I think he sees no contradiction whatsoever in that.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, I feel generous and able to cut him more slack.
Yeah. Well, I'm
hope
sure.
I'm making
yeah,
sense.
I know. I can see that.
Yeah,
Father,
right?
I can see that. I said it yesterday when Dominus
yeah.
Jesus came out in the year 2000 talking about the uniqueness of the Catholic Church, and he would not even show up in Rome when the Holy Father called all the cardinals to come to deal with this issue of Dominus Jesus, because many people think erroneously, I might add, that we're just one denomination of others. We don't have that fullness of the faith. And I see people say that the Second Vatican Council taught that. I don't see that. I've never seen, and this is just my take, every time I see anything in the church teachings, I ask myself this question: what's the perennial teachings of the church?
Exactly.
And then I get that answer, and then I move forward. So that's how I see it. Well, let me ask you this, Father Murr, because Bishop...
Let me just
finish
say
it up.
This about Wilson, to make that...
Oh, yeah, make the connection.
Thinking, what am, where am I going?
Yeah.
Wilson talked about the Constitution, mm-hmm. the first time it was referred to, the Constitution of the United States of America,
yeah.
as a living
Listen to the words.
Oh, I know. This is horrible. Go ahead.
All right?
Yep.
Well, our Pope refers to the magisterium.
Yeah, that's... Oh, I see the connection.
As the living magisterium.
Not for what it says. The, oh, gosh.
The, exactly. Oh, exactly.
Terrible.
For what it's breathing today. We've got to be with it today. Now, I hadn't thought of any of this until I heard Archbishop Viganot so boldly declare that there's maybe something wrong with that council.
Mm-hmm.
And many other people declared the same thing. Cardinal Gagnon said it openly to me.
Mm-hmm.
That there were points that were very wrong with the council, and they had to be readdressed. Well, maybe this is a very good time. Maybe this is the great grace of God that's coming to readdress these things, clear them up, and reestablish in glory the Catholic Church and the true Catholic spirit. Who knows what God's got in mind, but I know he's got something fantastic in mind.
Well, since
that much I do know.
Since we're at the breakfast nook talking at my house, Father, and thousands of people are listening, I'm going to bring up Bishop Athanasius Snyder. He said a very similar thing, and he gave an example.
Another great man.
Yes.
Great man.
He gave an example. Let's have a conversation. What the heck? Everybody's listening. Come on. Join us. Have a cup
of
coffee. Okay, here's what I want to ask. Bishop Athanasius Snyder said, for an example, where we state that in one of the documents of Vatican II, that we worship the same God as the Muslims. And Bishop Athanasius Snyder said, you can't say that it has to be clearly explained that, yes, they have this, you know, the God of Abraham, they have that belief in there, but it's not the same God that we have as Jesus Christ. And so that's not really clearly stated. Do you recall that document, Father Murr? That
I do. I recall the document perfectly well. It's also on religious liberty.
Yes.
I'm not going to get into the technical language of it, but the idea that it gives is that every religion has a right to exist. Now, the council documents say that every religion has a right to exist. As Catholics, we don't believe that at all, because if we did believe that, we would be the biggest hypocrites in the world. We believe that we are following the one true religion. There's only one true religion.
Yep.
God is not going to come on earth and start a plethora of religions that are all different with one another. And what, is he going to retire to a cloud and laugh at us?
Yeah.
This makes no sense at all.
I hear you.
Now, the church has always said you can tolerate.
Right.
And the church has tolerated different religions.
Right.
In Europe, the church tolerated the Muslims.
Right.
The church tolerated the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
The church tolerated, finally, also Protestantism.
Sure.
The Protestants.
Sure.
They're tolerated. However, they're not recognized as a true religion.
Right.
There is only one. That's the ambiguity that plays in the Second Vatican Council, and it's very dangerous.
I would agree.
Very dangerous.
Yeah.
Now, one other thing, Terry.
Tell me, Father.
If you would be sitting, I have a lot of friends, certainly had in the past, more so than today, I had a lot of friends who were Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
If you would like to have your head cut off quickly, without feeling any pain, you tell them that the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, try to explain that to them.
Oh.
They have no time for that.
Nope.
And if you think that we're adoring the same God, you're absolutely wrong. They would be the first to tell you that that's wrong.
Right.
So we have a lot of ambiguities that really could use some clarification.
Absolutely.
And it's 50 years overdue.
Well, Father Murr, I met a young man on Monday, and I'm going to play his clip. He's 17 years old. Baltimore Catechism got him to, he's a convert to his Catholic faith. The family's monthly donors for Virgin Most Powerful. And he's in high school, and he just called the show, and we recorded it. I want people to hear what truth can do for a 17-year-old young man. Play that.
Oh, that's great.
Here it comes. Logan, what has Virgin Most Powerful Radio done for you?
Well, Virgin Most Powerful Radio, I got to say, I've been a listener for about a year now, and it's really helped me grow closer to my faith and the fact that I'm listening and I'm getting unsugar-coated, clear, charity with clarity, Catholicism. And it's really helped me even, you know, grow so much deeper in my faith as a young man and discern the priesthood and have a love for Jesus Christ. And this is so seen on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful, the unsugar-coated, clear truth of our Catholic faith that is so lacking today. It's almost like the Terry and Jesse Show. It's the orange juice Catholicism, and it's filling things up. I just need to give them a shout-out, my praise. I'm just so appreciative. It's just really helped me, and I know now people want to hear this. It inspires me to want to speak it, and it inspires me to even go as far as discerning the priesthood to think, I should speak this. We need to stand up for our beautiful faith. This is its unsugar-coated beauty, and this is just what I've seen on the Terry and Jesse Show. I encourage so many listeners to start donating and support this cause. It has just really impacted my life, and all I just want to give is some praise to it.
Wow. And you know, Father Murr, he goes to the traditional Latin Mass in the Phoenix area. He loves the Eucharist. He loves Our Lady. But the point of it is,
this is
an example of what can happen to young people when the unadulterated truth is presented to them. And again, Father Murr, it was the Baltimore Catechism that I grew up with. And I think you also grew up with that catechism, did you not?
Well, I was born before the Baltimore Council.
Give me
a break.
Of course
I did.
That's what I figured. Yeah, that was cute before the Baltimore. Father, this is what we're talking about, though. Archbishop Vigano is really just telling us to get back to our basics and be steadfast in our faith. I hear young people talk like that more and more, so it gives me hope as I get in my elderly age.
Terry, you're aware of this because you've really got your finger on the pulse of what's happening. But I'm amazed, and I mean this, I'm amazed at the young people,
yes,
old people also, and media, you know,
yeah,
middle age, what have you, but young people seeking out the Tridentine Latin Mass.
Oh, it's all over.
It's amazing.
That's right.
And it's growing and growing and growing. It's amazing.
Yep.
And learning it and understand. As a matter of fact, I'm a little bit jealous because I see some young people today who at their 15 and 17 and 20 years of age know more about the Mass than I did when I was 15 years a priest.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Amazing about the Tridentine Mass. It's amazing.
It's there.
And they love
it
and they practice it and it's growing.
Yeah, I see it. I see it every day. That's why here at Virgin Most Powerful, we're going to be putting a new show together. What is truth for young people? Because, Father, here's the sad news. About 83% of the kids, by the time they're 23, aren't practicing the faith, and we have to change that by presenting the truth. And when we come back, I want to give some good news. A U.S. bishop, he's pro-life, is the top voting issue, he says, and we'll make abortion illegal. He says, just like we made slavery illegal. A great story. We'll be back with more on the Terry and Jesse Show. What do? We help you fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church.
Jesus said in Luke 17, "When you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have only done our duty." According to St. John of the Cross, God is pleased with the little deeds we do in secret. He takes more pleasure in these than in a multitude of grand works that we may do out of the desire to be seen by others. May God help us to do the things that please Him, and not just to appear great in the eyes of others.
Tummy.
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before. at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard people.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871. Because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back. Father Charles Murr is visiting for us here at Virgin Most Powerful for Jesse. Jesse will be back on Monday. My good news story is a couple bishops, and I wish it was all bishops, but this is a U.S. bishop says pro-life is the top voting issue, and we'll make abortion illegal just like we slavery was illegal by the votes. And his name is Bishop Joseph Coffey. He's in Maryland. And here's what he did, and I thought, what a great example for priests and bishops. Just shortly before daybreak on Saturday, October 10th, he and another priest began celebrating Mass for some 50 pro-life people gathered in a parking lot adjacent to a late-term abortion facility in Maryland. And basically, Father said, we're going to pray. And he also talked about in his comments about that we need to pray and have for this abortion doctor to have the experience of St. Paul's conversion. He said he's an atheist, but we've had atheists like Dr. Bernard Nathanson, who aborted over 60,000 babies. I knew him quite well, including his own child, could convert to Catholicism. So could this doctor. So he had supernatural faith to pray for that doctor. They also did I love this. They took our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament and had a procession walking around the abortion clinic asking for our Lord's for prayers to convert this doctor. But here's the neat thing about this Bishop Coffey. He's been an advocate for the unborn for over 45 years. As a youngster, and this is mom and dad, listen what happened. As a youngster, following the passage of Roe versus Wade back in the early 70s, his parents often took the 9 children to a pro-life demonstration. We know, like praying the rosary outside in the clinic. He said after college, he joined the rescue movement, which I was part of, the Operation Rescue. I got arrested there too, before discerning his priestly vocation. He says now, having served almost 20 years in the military chaplain and being consecrated a bishop, he is now once again active in the pro-life work. Now, that's the kind of story I love to hear about bishops who are out there fighting a good fight for our unborn babies. Now, another bishop, Father, before I do that, Father Murr, when you hear of a bishop doing something like that, as a priest, don't you find him very uplifting to see if that was your bishop, wouldn't you be like lock, stock, and blank, you know, in other words, right in line with him? Wouldn't you see him as a powerful leader in your diocese if he did that for you?
You know it.
Yeah, wouldn't you want to follow him, though? Come on.
Well, yes, because he's doing what's right, and he's putting his money where his mouth is.
Exactly.
This is reality, and
here's another bishop in Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and that's the oldest diocese in the United States. He says this: it's not a matter of imposing a belief, but of being committed to the truth about human life, which is biological science confirms that life begins at conception. He wrote this on Our Lady of the Rosary feast day, and he said that all human beings are deserving the protection of the law. And so here he is again, going out and saying to people, you need to vote pro-life. Now, Father Murr, you've been a priest for 40-some years. When I give advice to people for the voting issue, right now we have two parties that have a completely different position on the human life issue of unborn babies. You have one, which is the Democratic Party, saying that we want abortion on demand. Even if the baby is born alive, many Democrats want to kill that baby. That's just a fact. But if you don't believe me, folks, go on to the platform of the Democratic Party and then go back over to the Republican Party, and you'll see there's no perfect candidate, but we can at least look at who's standing up for life. And I think that I'll just give my take, and then I'll let Father Murr give his take. But after 4 years seeing the President Trump standing up at the March for Life, stopping the abortions in funding it as best as he can, saying that all Americans, we need to protect the unborn. It seems to me it's a slam dunk that we have one pro-life president and then we have one potential of voting against, coming against him, Biden, who wants to have abortion on demand and also wants to codify Roe versus Wade to make it so we can't do anything about it. And he also wants to penalize the little sisters of the poor and have them pay for birth control. So it's pretty clear in my mind. But Father Murr, if someone came up to you as a Catholic, as a follower of Christ, what advice do you give when it comes to the sanctity of life and your voting? Give us your take on the election. I know that you're a priest, but 1954, when the Johnson Amendment came through, saying churches shouldn't be speaking on politics, Trump in 2017 said, we're not going to we want to hear from the clergy. So President Trump is saying, speak your mind, Father Murr. What's your take on this election coming up?
Let me approach it this way.
Yeah.
If I didn't know the religion,
yeah,
of either candidate.
Yeah.
If I had no idea of the religion of either candidate, and you asked me,
yeah,
to define as closely as I could,
sure,
the religious beliefs of both,
yeah,
I would say Donald Trump is the Catholic. He's a Roman Catholic.
Right.
Biden, I would say, is some sort of a new Protestant, maybe Presbyterian,
mm-hmm,
maybe something like that, yeah, a liberal Protestant,
sure,
maybe a Unitarian. Let's go there. But I wouldn't find, in other words, they would be exactly the opposite of what they are.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Well, let me just say this, Terry.
Sure.
In my lifetime,
yes,
I remember Roe versus Wade. I remember this happening and coming into law. It was, nobody could believe it. Nobody could believe it, right? But in my lifetime, I have never heard a candidate or a president, a candidate for the presidency or a president, speak so clearly in defense of innocent human life. I've never heard this so beautifully put as through Donald Trump. I've never heard it said,
well,
stated this way.
You're saying the same thing Bishop Joseph Strickland said last Tuesday. We put that, yeah, video out. And you know what, Father? It's since the 1980s, they started to have ultrasound. Could show 3D ultrasound development came in. And we had the silent scream. That was Dr. Bernard Nathanson. And studies show that 80% of the women who actually see the ultrasound of their baby decide not to, mm-hmm, kill their baby. And since 1973, this is interesting, check this out, many laws have been enacted restricting abortion in most states, which certainly has shifted public opinion. Between 2001 and 2010, 189 abortion restriction laws were passed. But then in 2011 to 2019, even more, there were 424 restrictions. So 43 states have passed some type of restrictions on abortions. These facts may explain why in the early 1990s, there were more than 2,000 abortion facilities in America. Check this out, Father. Now there's only 750. And this is interesting. There are now at least 85% of the counties in the United States do not have abortion facilities. They're all in the big cities. So, and then check this out. Where we're making progress. 3,000 crisis pregnancy centers in America today. And here's an interesting thing. You know, we talk about life being sacred. 250,000 black American babies were destroyed each year through abortion. It's estimated since 73 that abortion has reduced the black population by 15 million people. What does Black Lives Matter say about that? They don't want to hear it. But 75% of Planned Parenthood abortion facilities are in minority neighborhoods. And so this is the statistic. And what I think is really interesting, Father Murr, in a recent study shows that 15% of premature infants at 22, 23 weeks survive. And a record includes 11 cases of infants surviving at 22 weeks and 2 at 21 weeks. So the point of it is, it's really clear that it is life. I think what it comes down to is we don't want to acknowledge that that life has got any rights. And that's what we are trying to do right now, is stop the killing of innocent babies. And we can do that with the way we act and also the way we vote. Father Murr, any final thoughts before we have to close?
Terry, just for those, for the slavery argument, I've always found that very, very, very convincing.
Sure.
Could you imagine saying to somebody today, you know, I think that blacks are, I find them human. I find them human.
Yeah.
Now, the state across from our border doesn't find them human. Well, that's kind of too bad. But I'm willing to consider. Could you imagine?
Oh, my gosh.
That way?
Yeah.
This is insane talk. It's insane.
That's what we got
that's
now.
That's the way people are talking about human life.
Yep.
Yeah. I consider it a human being. But in that other state or beyond this border, they don't. So I guess we have to kind of respect that.
Yep.
What are you talking about? It either is or it isn't.
Exactly.
It's a human being or it isn't a human being, right? And remember, want to get back to our biblical basis.
Sure.
Remember John the Baptist in his mother's womb, leaping for joy.
That's exactly
as Christ in his mother's womb approached St. Elizabeth.
Beautiful.
All right. Why are they doing this? Because they're both alive.
Exactly.
And they're both expressing that aliveness. All right. We needn't go any further.
No, you nailed it. Father. You nailed it.
President Trump is speaking. I've never heard anybody speak so pro-life. As a matter of fact, I haven't heard bishops and popes speak as pro-life as this man does. Unbelievable.
What Bishop Strickland said. That he sounds like a bishop or a pope talking about the defense of life. And he's not even Catholic.
Yeah.
This is a strange world. Hey, up next we have the Bible with the Barbers. I can see my wife in Studio B, and she's going to be talking on biblical basis of the Catholic faith. Father Murr, how about a final blessing, and then I have a question for you.
Absolutely, Terry. The blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost descend upon you and remain forever.
Amen. Amen. Father Murr, we know this question. We hear it every day on the Terry and Jesse Show, but it's really what it's all about. What state should we be living in, Father?
The state of grace.
Exactly. And if we've been away from the sacraments over a month, get the confession. That's your spiritual advisor right now. I went on Sunday. My wife went on Sunday. It's just part of life. If you don't get in the box, then it tells me that you're losing it. So get in the box at least once a month, get your confession, and also receive Holy Communion as often as possible. May God richly bless you. And again, up next is the Bible with the Barbers. You can get it on our YouTube channel or on our free app here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Have a great weekend and live in the presence of God. What else is there? God love you.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.